It's life on life's terms. Here we are, Life on Life's Terms podcast, lolterms.com. We'll stay right off the rip. We're not affiliated with any 12-step program. I'm Tom Robinson.
Chris Mandeville.
I got 12 years clean.
I've been in recovery since December 27, 2001.
And our guest today is...
Jimmy Bradley.
Jimmy's going to tell a story. We're going to make fun of him. No.
All right. So go ahead. Kick it off, Jim.
All right. So I have been in recovery for almost 3 years now. April 1st, 2015 is my sobriety date.
April Fool.
Just kidding.
Yeah, right? It's a big joke. But I don't know. I've been trying to get sober for about, I've been using for about 15 years, but prior to that, and I tried to get sober a lot of different ways. When it came down to it, what ultimately worked for me was the 12 steps. I mean, first things first is, there's something that I don't do in recovery, and it's become pretty important to me, is that I surround myself with a lot of people that introduce themselves as a recovered drug addict. I'm a recovered drug addict, and they say it a certain way. And I try very specifically to stay humble and not to come off as better than.
Yep.
When.
Oh, yeah, that's important. Just one second.
Yep, hit me. All right.
That's talking to the, you're talking to the side of these microphones.
To the side of the microphone. All right. Yeah. So,
but I've known you for a while, and you've pretty much been everywhere.
Yeah. I've been everywhere.
You mean treatment?
Yeah. I mean, in Massachusetts specifically, I mean, I've been to 85 plus detoxes.
Sounds like me.
I've been to about six halfway houses. I've been Section 35 six times.
Six times.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I must have thought that was a good time or something.
Well, it ended up being a guaranteed CSS bed. So about, three of those times I sectioned myself.
Yeah.
Just the way it works. But,
So was it mostly alcohol, mostly drugs, mostly?
It was mostly drugs.
Yeah.
Mostly drugs. I mean, I drank when I was younger, but, once heroin and cocaine intravenously came into play, like, I didn't.
That was my story,
really
too.
Much more.
Same story.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much how it goes for everybody, I think.
Yeah, I mean, my stomach couldn't handle it at that point. And, I fell in love with something, and alcohol just wasn't it. I mean, it did the job until I found what I really wanted to do. I found my drug of no choice, which is ultimately
heroin. Yeah.
Are you talking about the recovering thing?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you're not cured. Recovered, not cured. But I understand what you're saying about the being humble. That's good. That's important. Because that's like my whole thing is that's what I'm good at, is I just stay humble. But you know what? I've also had problems with, liking myself at all. So, I mean, it's easy to stay humble when you don't really like yourself. So I kind of had the opposite problem. But I've never been like outwardly, I've got this and all that stuff. I can't imagine.
Like, I've been around a little bit, and I've never said that because I don't agree.
Right. Well, there's a reason that I do this now is because, and do I feel that I am recovered? I do. It's the first promise they give me in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It tells me that I'm going, that hundreds of men and women that have recovered from their alcoholism, right?
So recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body.
Exactly. Yes. And I feel that I have recovered. I no longer obsess over drinking and getting high. So it is possible, and it's not going to be, I'm in recovery for 30 years. Like, no, I've recovered. I get it, but I don't identify myself that because... I don't want to come off as better than. And I
see, that's brilliant. And I'll tell you why. It's that same old story with the us and them. Because all of a sudden, then you got the recovered and you people over there, you know, is bad. Yeah. You don't want that.
Separation.
Exactly.
It kills.
I speak at a lot of detoxes, right? So I used to, you know, I'd see these people come in. So the main reason, I just don't want to sound like a douchebag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's all
pretty much.
Nobody wants that.
Because I remember being in these programs and being in those seats. And there's specifically, there was one guy, I was in a facility in South Weymouth. And this guy came in and he threw his keys on the table and he started talking. I got keys now. I got apartment keys. I got truck keys. Right. And he came off as better then. And I shut down and I immediately stopped listening.
Yep.
Oh, you know? That's so interesting.
I worked with a guy. We were painters. And he says, you know, you can measure your sobriety by the amount of keys you have. Well, he fucking lost his keys that day, and he hasn't gotten sober since.
Yeah, right?
It's it's
crazy. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that stuff's just a little – it's important because I see a lot of people that are doing well and that have been doing well, and they identify themselves like that, and then their spiritual ego gets in the way. Where they think they're the most recovered person in the room?
Spiritual ego. That's a new one.
Spiritual ego. That's right? Pretty wild.
I you know I mean? Exactly what you're saying, but I've never heard it coined
quite
in a phrase.
Like that,
well, I can patent that. It's mine. Right? So, you know, I try to just kind of stay on the level and not let that get the best of me because I can see that. Like, yeah, like I go to places and I want to say something so profound that everybody in the room gets sober and never gets high again, right?
Yeah, right.
But it really has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, that's resting your identity or who you think you are. Who you think you don't know who I think I am. Do you know who I think I am?
Yeah, right.
Resting your identity on that oh yeah, I'm the sober guy who gets people sober, you know what I mean? It's dangerous too.
Yeah.
That's another trap. It's just trap.
I mean, there's a lot of traps. So I want to talk a little bit about the Massachusetts AA scene that I thought I was in, right, for a long time. There was one gentleman, and he happens to be sitting right here. They used to tell me all the
mayor?
Time. He used to tell me all the time, how long are you going to come to a 12-step fellowship and not do the 12 steps? Right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that meant.
Honestly, like, out of all the people that I know, like, I never thought that you would get it.
Thanks.
And like I
appreciate that.
But I'll call him for advice now. And which is amazing.
Fantastic.
I want you to prove me wrong. Want you to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
I want to be wrong on all types of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? But when you're around here for a while and you see the same things happen over and over and you see the same person walk in the door, they just look different. They're doing the same things that the guy 2 years ago did, you know? I want to be wrong. I'm glad I am this time.
Yeah,
I really am.
When you would say that to me, like I didn't understand it because I was doing. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I would go. What do they tell me to do? They tell me to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I'd be at a halfway house and I'd have to act like I was on job search. So I'd probably go to 120 meetings in 90 days, right? Mm-hmm. Or you know, just hold on to my seat, shoot for midnight. Yeah. I would do these things. Don't get high, no matter what. If it was that easy, I would have got sober a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right? So I thought I was doing it. I didn't. I say, you know, I went to 7 meetings this week. I went bowling 3 times last week with guys I don't like. Like, what am I doing? So I thought I was doing what this program was, and I didn't realize that the program is the 12 steps. Going to meetings is the fellowship.
Yep.
I said that
last night.
Yeah. Like, these are things. And I use them a lot. And I actually, you know, I got them for you, but I didn't understand, right? So there was, because I think that, because it gets difficult and people start getting a little upset when you start talking about the real alcoholic, right? So I think that that's a lot of what it was. And a lot of the meetings around here, if you're talking about the big book, or you're talking about the 12 steps, you're going to get looked down upon. You know, some of these old times, these meetings, I mean, I'm sure you've been to some of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
So... And friend of mine, Chris, he says it a certain way, and you know him, and you've probably heard this story before, and it just makes so much sense that he's like, when you go to church and the priest walks down with the Bible, right, you don't look at him and go, what are you doing in here with that book?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and he said that. I heard him speak recently. He said that, and I was like, wow, it makes so much sense, because that's how I felt. Like, people would, they'd be like, you know, we don't need that here. You don't have to talk about the 12 steps. And so what it is you get into talking about the real deal alcoholic, and people get a little iffy that way. And don't get me wrong, like, people can get sober a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that at first either. But you can get sober a lot of different ways. And I used to tell people that they had to do the 12 steps to get sober, which just isn't true, like, because only they can identify is that real deal or not. So now what do I say? I say, I don't know what you need to do. I can show you what I do.
Yeah,
if you think it might,
yeah,
it
that's
might be
what it's all
about. Like, yep.
It's a attraction, not promotion. That's a big one.
In the because these so these meetings, and I would listen to these 30-year people, right? And they would tell me to just keep coming, and they would tell me to hold on to my seat. And I remember getting really discouraged one time, and I probably threw up all over this meeting and said that I hated it. Meetings, I hate everybody there, and I'm gonna leave and get high. And the 30-year guy came up to me afterwards and told me, it sounds like you need another meeting, pal.
Yeah, right.
And I left and got high. Right?
Of course you did.
Yeah, I'm gonna show him.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
yeah.
You know, what I've come to realize after, you know, being in this now for a few years is that these people that were telling me that, they probably weren't the real deal to begin with. Right? So they're spreading a message. They don't mean it, but they're spreading a message that's gonna kill somebody like me. They're gonna spread a message to just keep coming, and it's gonna kill me. Because I'm going to try that and I'm going to die and just keep coming.
Well, there's definitely levels to addiction and addicts, you know what I mean? There's people who, you know, they can go, you know, and just do a light version and just be fine, or life change a little
bit.
There's
a lot of people that they just develop a physical habit. And when they break it, they're okay.
Yeah, oh, that too.
Absolutely.
That ain't me.
No.
Yeah, and that's that when it got broken down to me about the three different types of alcoholics, right? So there's somebody that can pick it up and put it down, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't relate with that. There's somebody else that if a significant reason comes into play, they can stop. They're getting married, they're having a child, they lose their job, they get the dream job, whatever. They get kicked out of the house, they get arrested, like, they're going to stop. Yeah. I've had my fun, I'm done. And then there's somebody that I identified with, which is, under no circumstances will any of those things get to keep me sober, right?
No.
And what I realized is that the 30-year guy that was telling me to just keep coming, he was maybe not the real deal to begin with, because what it might have looked like, and this is hypothetical, is that, you know, he had too many glasses of wine one night and he got a DUI driving home. He was court sanctioned to go to AA meetings. He went to AA meetings, found some friends, and he stayed sober for 30 years and his life got better.
Yep.
But... You know,
which is fine.
And that's cool. And that's cool.
But he doesn't realize that that can kill people,
right,
too.
Exactly.
But I've also met people,
and they mean well,
that say those things, and if I actually sat down and took the time to talk to them, they're like, yeah, I've done the 12 steps. I take guys to this. They just don't run around fucking spouting about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
So I've met both sides. I was at a meeting the other night. I was talking about earlier, this little crusty meeting, seven people in the room, and there's this guy there. I don't know how he ended up where he was, but he's from the Berkshires. But he was so misinformed. Like, oh, I can't sponsor people till I have 5 years. And I'm like, why don't you just pull this dude aside and say, bro, like, no, none of that is true. Like, you can help people ASAP. Like,
yeah.
But there's so much misinformation out there, like what you're talking about, like to the message that's being spread can and is killing people.
Doug, right. I mean, Bill Wilson brought the message to Dr. Bob at, 6 months sober? And, I mean, Abby Thatcher brought it to Bill at, what, a month?
Bill did his stuff in his bed. Like,
how
long you want to wait to get better?
Right.
There's no time limit
in this hospital bed, in the sick bed.
Yeah. Like before certain literature was even written, and it worked for him, and it stuck, you know. So
they did it without this book.
Yeah.
Well, I had to have a complete change, a complete giving up of who I was before I was sober. You know what I mean? I had to give up all sorts of ideas, all sorts of coping mechanisms and this and that, and I had to make a decision that I was gonna stay sober whether I was miserable or not for the rest of my life. because the other thing was killing me. Using was killing me, and it wasn't working. And I said, I will walk through this world with my head down and be miserable the whole time before I'll pick up a drink or a drug. You know what I mean? And from there, from that decision, well, the first thing, open-minded thing was when I came into the treatment program the first night, and I was like going to sleep, and some guy was like, dude, they say to get on your knees every night if you're going to try to stay sober. I was like, yeah, I know how to pray. I pray you want to lay down. And then the next night I was like, you know, how good has my way worked? Why am I keep trying to tell everybody that I know anything?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then that was my first thing that I gave up. And then from there, you know, it's just a matter of being open-minded. You know, you can't, like you were saying before, the humility and the open-minded is huge.
Yeah. A quote that this kid who was doing this stuff and ended up relapsing and dying had on his page, and I see it all the time, and it says, those who make themselves great will be humbled, and those who remain humble will be made great.
Mm.
And well, I see people, you know, running around like we was talking earlier, you know. I'm no better than anybody else.
Spiritual
out
there. Ego.
Right.
Yeah.
Spiritual ego.
Yeah. Shit's on fleek.
Right. I mean, one thing that I want to talk about to bring up, I mean, this was a huge, huge thing for me, was realizing that my false sense of loyalty.
Right? Oh, yeah. There
false
you go.
False sense of loyalty. False sense of loyalty.
Exactly.
So I thought I was an extremely loyal person. It was even, you know, when you go into detox and they ask you those questions, like, you know, they ask you like the crazy questions that you don't want to answer and you don't have an answer to, like, what are your three hobbies? Like, what three things can I do getting high? Right.
Yeah.
Or what are your three main attributes? Like, I always put loyalty number one. Like, those questions drive me nuts. Right.
Right.
And they, have you ever thought of suicide? No, of course not. I've never thought of suicide because I don't want to get sex.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, you don't want to say that.
I don't want to tell the lady, like, listen, lady, like, yeah, it's plan. It's plan B.
Yeah.
If this doesn't work, that's the next plan. You know, so like,
yeah.
You know,
you don't want to say that though.
Can you medicate me and put me to bed before I do it right now? Yes. You know, like that. I don't want to say that, but so the loyalty always came up in that, and that was always the word I used. And it was, you know, I thought I was extremely loyal. I'm one of those kids that's got that regrettable loyalty tattoo, right?
I was going to say loyalty. You know? That's a tattoo now, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I got one. It's a huge. It's big. It's all in my whole ribs.
Yeah.
Right? And it meant something totally different than it does now, right? So right. I thought I was loyal because why? Because I could do something and keep my mouth shut afterwards.
Yeah.
You know? And I had an extremely important gentleman that he asked me, and he you know, he asked me that question. He said, oh, you think you're loyal, right? And I said, absolutely. And he's like, all right, if I called one of your brothers right now and asked them if you were loyal, what would they say? I was like, of course they'd say yes, I'd die for them, right?
Yeah.
And he said, okay, well, what if I asked them if one of their daughters had, like, a recital and she wanted you to be there? Would you show up? And if you did, would you be on time? Or if one of them had to move?
Yeah, could they count on you?
Can they count on you? And I was like, okay, don't call him.
Not that one.
But it made sense. You know, it's the false sense of loyalty.
That's
I was
right.
being loyal to the wrong people. I
to
wasn't
the wrong
being loyal
thing.
To my
yeah.
family. And I needed to look at things drastically. And I tell a lot of guys I work with now that it seems drastic, right? But even when it comes down to the conversations that you have in these recovery homes and in detoxes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they want to talk about the good old days, right? The good old days when you robbed a dealer and you got away with it, or the good old days when you were getting high and everything was great, which that never happened, right?
Right.
But so I needed to remove myself from these conversations because they're harmful, right? So I needed to look at it differently because that false sense of loyalty was so ingrained in my mind.
And glorifying, right? What do they call it?
Glorifying. That's what I was looking for. So glorifying, right? They're having these glorifying conversations about drugs and alcohol. So I needed to look at it. I don't care if it's three of my best friends sitting around the table. I needed to look at it like these three guys want my children to grow up without a father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems drastic, and they don't. And they,
you know, they don't want me to die. Like, they're my friends. They like me, right? They don't want my kids to grow up without a father. But I needed to look at it like that so I could flip that switch in my head, and I could say, listen, fellas, like, this conversation, we should shut this down. It's not helpful for anybody involved. But either way, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to remove myself. I'd appreciate it if you don't talk about this around me. And then when it comes up again, I'm going to be like, buddy, I asked you once. And then when it comes up the third time, it's like, what am I a fucking asshole? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can swear. I can swear on this.
Yeah,
so it's like, what am I a fucking asshole? Like, I asked you three times. Like,
yep.
And then to the point where it's like, I mean, hopefully it doesn't, and I never wanted to, but like, yeah, like, to the point where like, I want to make it physical at that point, because this is life and death, and I've convinced myself that they want my children to grow up without a father. That's the only way. That's the only way I could do it.
Yeah,
that's the only way it works.
Well, whatever works. You know?
And, but also, you consider the source and look at the lives that they're leading, and you know what I mean.
Yeah,
exactly. And they don't. And I know they don't want that, but
right. But you know, that stuff can affect you and set you off. You know?
Oh, it absolutely can.
Especially in early sobriety.
Yeah.
You don't want to be glorifying
it. Just at any point, you know.
I can tell stories about my fuck ups and have a ball, you know, laughing. But I don't glorify it as if it was a great time using drugs.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Shit sucked.
It did suck.
But at the time, like, I didn't realize that. At the time, it was great.
Yeah.
But you know, it's, I don't know.
I realized it for a long time that it sucked. And I was using without my own permission.
Yeah, I got high against my own will probably about the last 4 years. I really wanted to be sober for 4 years, probably. I mean, you noticed it.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, I never wanted to do anything about it. I didn't want to put in any work. And come to realize, like, this isn't as big. I made this 12 steps and, like, doing the work, right? I made it into this huge unobtainable thing because I wasn't good enough, so I'm gonna fuck it up sooner or later, right?
Yep.
So I might as well just not even start.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's big.
That's,
too.
You know what that is? It's funny because I was reading it. I think I sent it the other day. Perfectionism. That's
perfectionism.
If I'm not gonna do it absolutely perfect, I'm not even gonna fucking start it.
Right, and that's a cop out.
Because
I
screwed up everything, so it became the norm for me to screw things up. So that was the easy way out. He's expected to fail. Jimmy's expected to fail. Yeah. So I might as well just do it now before I get everybody's hopes up instead of my own, including my own, and have all those come crashing down. So I'm just
that's
gonna.
That's that part of you. That's the wounded
up.
Child, and you're taking control, being like, yeah, this is who we are. Remember us? We're the ones who always fuck up.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's I don't know, I just lost my train of thought though. But
another sip of coffee?
Yeah, we'll have a little sip of coffee, we'll train it back.
Figure it out.
What were we just talking about?
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. I don't know, I lost mine too.
You were talking about the 12 steps and how you weren't gonna be doing it because if you couldn't do it perfect,
it
was unattainable.
Yeah, so what I've come to realize, and I try to explain this to other people, is that it's really not that extreme of a task. Yeah, do we have to take some action? We have to do some things? Of course we do, but it's not that big of a thing. What it breaks down to is I just want to be a good guy.
Mm.
I want to stop being a piece of shit and hurting everybody around me and hurting everybody that loves me, and I just want to be a good guy. So how do I do that? I live by spiritual principles, and I don't intentionally cause harm, and if I do, I take action around and
make it right.
You know, like, that's all it is. You know, like, and it's not, and there's going to be people that come and tell you guys, I say this to guys all the time, there's going to be people that come and tell you, and they say they meditate for 2 hours a day, and, you know, they make, you know, 5 amends a week, and they do all these things, which, number one, it's probably a lie, and it's a practical program of action. I get 2 small children. Am I going to meditate for 2 hours a day? Come on. It's not going to happen.
No.
Can I find 10 minutes 3 times a week? Yeah, I can find 10 minutes 3 times a week.
Yep.
You know, like, that's what it is. So I figured out that the 12 steps are like, I have to continue this for life. Like, I didn't know that at first, right?
Yeah,
and I'm like, what do you mean I got to continue it for life? It's a lifestyle change. That's all this is. So I just have to continue to be a good guy.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I don't do all these crazy things every day for my recovery, but what I do is I don't take any days off. I do something for my recovery every day, not including praying. I pray every day, but that's not included. Put that aside. Do I do something? Yeah. It might be as simple as a nightly review, which takes me 4 minutes. If I can't spend 4 minutes for my recovery and for God, who the fuck am I, right?
Yeah, right.
4 minutes. You know, like, that's not that difficult.
Yeah, stop and look at any day. Yep, I was a dickhead then. Got to fix that.
I'll tell you what, the only thing I've ever done perfect, almost, not perfect, but almost perfect, the closest thing I've come to is the hitting my knees every morning, every night. I do it every morning, every night. And that's just me. And that's something that maybe it's because of that was that first thing, the first act of contrition, the first giving up of my own will.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what does it for me, but that's what I do. I mean, I went to a meeting a day at least for like 6-7 years.
Yep.
I don't hit as many as I should anymore.
That sounds miserable to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But also, like, you talking, you know, not finding time for this and that, but, like, you know, we have kids. We get sober to be good parents as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
it's not all about
sitting
me.
Down with my daughter and playing with her or something like that. That's doing something for my recovery as well.
Yeah.
You know,
it is,
because, like, you know, I can't be selfish and run around and fucking help the whole entire world every single night. And when I got a girl and kids at home,
right.
Like, how right. fucking, you know, how solid is that?
This right. podcast is my recovery for the day. I'm done.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yep. Chalk it up. We're good. No, I look forward to this, man. Like,
yeah, seriously. Me too. I really look forward to it as well.
Life's busy. Life's crazy. You know, you actually work in the field now, too.
I do. I have, you know.
Which is fucking crazy to me.
It's so crazy, right? I have the ability to be able to work for the place where I got well. Like, I had an opportunity to go down to this place in Austin, Texas, and, you know, I went through the 12 steps there, and I got well. And I thought I had, like, tried the 12 steps before, and I didn't. And that same gentleman I was talking about earlier, he asked me if I had ever done the 12 steps. And I'm a drug addict, alcoholic, right? So I'm incapable of answering a yes or no question. So my
no, we go on with an explanation.
Yeah, it goes on with it's a yes or no question. And I, well, my answer is like, well, I've done 1, 2, and 3 a bunch of times. You know, I took a few third steps. I started to write a 4-step, but I didn't like the guy that was bringing me through, so I stopped. And he's like, whoa. He's like, I asked you a fucking yes or no question.
Yeah.
He was like, the answer you're looking for is no. I asked you if you did the 12 steps. I didn't ask you if you did 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, all right, so no. You know, and
yeah, exactly.
And then I understood. Well, so this place was, it was what I needed, and I was able to get through all 12 steps there, and I was able, you know, to come back immediately and start making amends, and you know, it was life changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the step study version of the 12 steps can be a little pretty intimidating. You know, it's a lot of work the way they have it done, and that's the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal. That's the way I went. I mean, I went through like a Big Book Awakenings way, so it's a little more in depth. It's there's like an extended third column that is it's you know, it's instead of just writing down initials, like, if it affects your pride, I want like 3 reasons why it affects your pride and the fear that surrounds that.
Yeah.
And especially so when I bring new guys through and we get to the third column and they're like, whoa, wait a minute.
What's like, all this shit?
Yeah, I thought I was just writing initials down. I had one guy that did it ahead of time.
Oh, really?
He was like, oh, no, I'm ready for fourth column. And I was like, I didn't give you third column. And he was like, no, I already did it. And I was like, all right, well, you're going to rip that up and we're going to do it this way. Yeah. That's just the way I do it. And if you want to do it another way, there's other people who take you through another way. I just go through the way that I know because it worked for me. Like, that's...
Yeah, that's right. There's plenty of ways. You got to do what works for you.
And, like, I was around here a while before I did it. And... Like you were talking about, Tom, earlier, just head down miserable.
Yeah.
7 years worth, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Absolutely blessed that I stayed sober that long to get to where I am today. But there was also a bunch of other stuff that I did along the way, even counseling, you know, retreats.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what works, you know. But I know I needed a lot of stuff. You know, because I believe that, you know, that writing all that stuff down, that's not going to fix everything. Like, if you have some mental problems, you need to see a psychologist. You know, the, like this, it can definitely stop you from picking up a drink or a drug. But, you know, physical stuff, mental stuff.
I see that now. And it's like, I happen to be beneficial enough that I only needed a spiritual experience to get well.
Yeah, me too.
I do see in this line of work as well, like, I do see other things where it's like, yeah, I mean, other avenues can be helpful.
Yeah.
If things can be helpful, why not try them?
Like, well, if you've suffered, like, severe traumas in your life,
yeah,
like, that's the, you're not going to be able to get all of that out on paper.
I didn't. Right. I don't think I realized what trauma really was before
either. I'm saying this because now I didn't either. Well, I sat down.
Everybody
with
everybody experiences trauma. The mother whose child has been sober for 5 years, but she still carries her cell phone around in her hand and gets nervous every time it rings. That's trauma.
Yeah.
The fact that the floor in the Dunkin' Donuts bathroom still makes me uncomfortable. That's trauma.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I'm 3 years sober and I'll look at the floor and I'll be like, whoa. You know.
Yeah. I sat down with a counselor and he said, you know, write down 10 horrible things that have happened in your life and then put a big T next to them or a little T for a small trauma or a major trauma. And I'm writing, oh, that really wasn't that bad, little T. Not that bad, little T. And he's reading it and he's like, you minimize everything that has ever happened to you.
You were left at a fire station as a baby. And
yeah. Yeah. Like this, some of this stuff would have like crushed a normal person.
Yeah.
And they'd probably be in a psych hospital, but you're still like running around and thinking it's not really a big deal. Because we those feelings, we always
push them down.
Stuff. And between that, because it's funny, this guy had never seen the Big Book, had never seen Alcoholics Anonymous text.
The book.
And I gave it to him. He read it and he reached through the steps and he's like, this whole fourth step thing, that's pretty interesting. You know, can you tell me something that you've, you know, wrote down on there and, you know, told someone else? And I'm like, yeah. So I told him and he goes, all right, now when you talk about that particular thing, do you still have a feeling attached to it? And I'm like, well, yeah. He goes, well, you really haven't processed it then. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, if you've completely processed something, then it will be a memory, but it won't, when you think of it, it's not going to make you angry or sad still.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think that it's not, you know, we're on a journey here. You know what I mean? It's not one event. Like, you're going to write down a bunch of stuff. And it is amazing. It's an amazing psychic change that it brings about. It's an amazing thing. But it's not the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You continually learn. You're not the same person you were yesterday. You're definitely not the same person you're going to be 5 years from now.
Right.
So you're always going to be learning and growing and trying. But you're going to be pretty much the same person you are, except much worse if you keep using. You know what I mean? So it's just every day you stay sober is a new day to find out what's fucking the great thing that's a store around the corner. You know what I mean?
And if it's something that's going to help me, I'll try it. You know what I mean? Including the steps, you know? And like one of the things that got me kickstarted back into, like, you know, the fellowship and everything was learning a lot about history.
Yeah, some of that stuff's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how this whole thing went about.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
yeah.
I got interested.
I'm sure
that
we'll talk about that next week with Dan.
Yeah, I got interested in that when the few times that we did the meeting at Brendan's house there. And
awesome.
That was pretty cool. And that's what got me like really interested in it. And then going through and like actually going through the book and like, not just saying I was going through it and like reading and seeing those parts. I was like, oh, wow. Like, it's cool stuff to know.
Yeah. Cause we used to like read a story in the back and then Google the person.
Oh, really?
Dude.
Wow, that's cool.
And you'd find out why the story was moved, why this story was taken out. Like,
oh, yeah.
Awesome stuff.
Well, yeah, all the different editions. All the different editions have all been updated for this next, except for the first 164 pages.
Right. No, even though, they've been updated what?
No, I think they've stayed the same. I think they've stayed the same.
No, there's a few things that have changed.
Well,
there's some things that have changed.
The appendices, the XI.
Right, the very beginning, yes.
Well, even, it used to say that if you don't identify as the real deal alcoholic, it used to say
either go back and read it again or throw this book away.
Yeah.
That's not it.
No, that probably they voted that out.
Yeah,
probably,
I mean, it's gotten a little, there's certain parts that have gotten a little user friendly
yes.
over
yeah.
the years.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, that's what, because I have good news for you. If you don't identify as the real deal alcoholic, you don't have to do this, the 12 steps. And I also have good news for you. If you do identify as the real deal, you can go through the next 164 pages and you can get a solution to it.
Yeah.
You know, like that's...
Yeah, here's another thing that just occurred to me that's interesting. Like, it's still anonymous for a reason, though. I mean, we say we don't affiliate with the 12 steps because we're on the internet and
yeah.
just throwing it all out there. But I think that it being anonymous will allow somebody who has all sorts of weird ideas to come in and just check it out without, like, thinking that their name's going to be put out there, right? Because there's certain people who still have jobs or might have people looking for them or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So
yeah.
there is a use for it to be anonymous, but I think there's a use for people like us who are in recovery also to come out, too, and dispel some misinformation that's going on, because there's a lot of misinformation, you know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Like, it's... some mom that doesn't know how to help her kid, you know what I mean, and
doesn't understand
Google
what's
something,
going on,
and boom, we pop up and she listens,
yeah.
and you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we're over here at a New Way Recovery Center in Quincy.
New Way, yeah.
If you guys are in the area, come check it out. There's lots of stuff that goes on here.
What's the address?
85 Quincy Ave, Quincy,
oh, yeah.
Mass.
Nice.
But you know, for a mom to like Google something and something pop up for her to
check out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to do with my son. Like,
right.
I'm riddled with fear. I'm my anxiety's through the roof, and you know, like, I understand the whole anonymity thing. But also it's gotten so much worse than it was back then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, and the 12 steps can be helpful to anybody. You
oh, absolutely.
To, it's not, it has absolutely nothing to do with
we
drinking.
We know some people
drinking,
that take families through it.
Yeah, it has nothing
know?
To do with drinking and doing drugs. It
yeah.
has 100% to do with having a new way of life, like
yeah.
changing your way of living and just being a better person. That's
when
what
we first came around, Chris, I remember there was people trying to say that if you weren't an alcoholic, if you didn't have a problem with alcohol and you use drugs, and you should go to the other fellowship. Don't come around AA.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Dude.
And it's like, give me a break.
I don't...
they're looking down. Us and them
I
again.
Was with,
it's
I was
us
with
and them.
Joey T.
Yeah.
Went to a meeting. He started talking about heroin. They started flicking the lights. He was like, you might as well shut him off because
yeah.
this is my story.
You yeah. know?
And I understand, like, I respect the traditions and all that.
I do now.
Yes.
I understand why now.
Yes.
No. I didn't understand before, so I would just be like, this is my story, like,
yep,
like that
yep.
gentleman, and I would just say it. But I understand. It was explained to me that, you know, what happens when the guy who's going to die of alcoholism decides to check out an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and he comes and he stands in the back of the room because he doesn't want to talk to anybody because he's nervous anyway, and the first thing he hears when he comes in is me raise my hand and I'm talking about sticking needles in my neck and smoking crack and this
yep,
and that.
Yep.
And he's like, you know what? This isn't what I thought it was. And he turns around, he walks out the door and he dies.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think it's pretty rare these days, though, that somebody's not using drugs if they're an alcoholic, right?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty rare, like, ever. I mean, even in the Big Book, I mean, there's sedatives in there.
Yep.
Like,
oh, yeah.
There's just, it's just it's a tradition. I try to abide by those traditions, and I'll identify as an alcoholic, even though I don't really identify as an alcoholic.
Oh yeah, I always
I
did. You know why I did it?
Meeting.
I did it to remind myself that alcohol is a problem. Because
yeah.
if I wanted to separate myself out, I'm an addict. You know what I mean? Then I might think, oh, I can have an appetizer and a couple of beers. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
And you know, no, I early on, right off the rip, I was like, I'm going to just start saying I'm an alcoholic because it's just easy.
It covers everything.
What I like to say,
I'm stupid
if
and
I
dumb.
Can, is that I'm a drug addict that's powerless over alcohol, right? Because
yeah.
I've attempted this because I had to, right? I got to learn the hard way. So I've attempted this a bunch of times where I'm just going to have a couple beers tonight. And we're not going to do anything else. And it's almost 10 o'clock. And I'm like, he might shut off soon. Maybe I'll just get it and hold on to it just in case I want to do it later.
Yeah.
You know, like that. And it never makes it till later, you know? And that's just the lie I tell myself.
You're ready to poop on the way there.
He's a cocaine guy, so he's up till 4 in the morning anyway. Yeah. Like, you know, but I'm telling myself he's going to shut off at 10. You know, like, it's just, it's never worked for me. Like, it's just not enough, and it just drives me back. Because it's like even with, like, a marijuana maintenance, right? Like, I'll tell myself, if I'm just smoking marijuana, and it might work for like 3 months, because I'll tell myself I'm sober for those 3 months. I'm not shooting heroin. I'm sober. And but immediately, like, when that time does come that it sounds like a good idea to shoot heroin, my drug addict mind immediately changes it, and it tells me that, well, you really haven't been sober for the past 3 months anyway. You might as well just do it.
Mm.
You know, like, and it's just, I have a mind that lies to me, and I buy into those lies. Like, and you can't fix a problem with the mind with the mind.
Right.
You
right.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, we need an outside perspective.
Yeah, like, it's just, you know, like, that's it's just a cool, like, I have a disease in the mind, and I think I'm going to fix it with my mind.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
I'm pretty sure, Albert Einstein said that.
He said it a better way.
I can't quote it.
He said was a problem cannot be fixed at the same level of thinking that caused the problem. That's what he said.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Direct quote. You knew that directly.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's got the Einstein quote down. Like,
right?
You know, I'm going to Google this later.
Yeah, that's what's up. So what else is going on?
Not much, man. You know, Christmas is coming up. Yes. The kids. I mean, Christmas is, I love Christmas, but, like, now it's just, you know, life doesn't get easy because you got sober, right?
Uh-huh.
So I got two children, and I want to provide them with the best Christmas possible, and there's a lot of stress involved with that.
Absolutely.
You know, but, you know, it's a luxury problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I say that all the time.
Yeah.
First world problem, or whatever you want to say. It's
crazy. Before I was coming here, you know, getting ready to hop in the shower, and I pop on Facebook, and a post from my brother pops up, and he's down in Florida, and he's like, you know, I see all these posts about people pissing and moaning about their lives. He works for the Florida DOT. He's sitting behind a Ford Explorer with a trailer on it that's out of gas. The people driving the car are two veterans who lost everything in Irma, and he's like, they don't even have gas.
Oh, you know? Man, yeah.
So, but they had insurance; it just didn't cover hurricanes. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Never does, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, he's like, so, you know, when you're worried about something that's pretty trivial to everyone else, just think of this. You know what I mean?
Just remember, you know, think about waking up in C6 with track marks from your knuckles to your neck. Fucking.
Ugh.
Ugh.
There's no water like Bridgewater.
Did you go to the Wild Wild West, the old facility, at all?
What, in Brockton?
In Bridgewater.
No, in Bridgewater, like inside the prison.
Yeah, no. I'm a high-class drug addict. I only had to go to Matsy.
All right.
Six times, but I mean, I always ended up there.
So you went to the place where there's like Delta and Alpha, the boot?
No, Matsy's in Brockton, the Men's Addiction Treatment Center.
Oh, okay. Is that jail, though? Is that like...
It's a locked facility.
It's a locked facility.
Oh, a locked facility.
Yeah. You can pretty much boot the door open.
You can actually just walk out. Yeah, but it's... I don't know. It's just a nicer facility.
Probably why you went there six times.
I was in the holding cell in Quincy Court, and they said, "Do you want to go to jail or detox?" I was like, "Detox? I'm not an idiot." Yeah, okay. Detox was inside prison.
You went to
That's
prison.
What happened to me.
Inside Bridgewater State Prison.
Dude, I went to Southie Court. I parked my car. I stuffed my shit under the seat.
Classic.
And I go in there and I'm like,
yeah, pull up to the courthouse. I used to go to court in hot boxes. Park the stolen car in the parking lot behind Quincy Court. What do you mean?
I the screwdriver hanging out.
I went in.
I got caught today. I don't want a warrant.
Stupid.
Fuck.
I went in there high as fuck. You know what I mean? I go in there and I had defaulted. I was there the day before because I just didn't remember what the hell date it was.
Yeah.
I never knew what date it was. Lawyer called me up, the court appointed, you know, and the judge just says, "You're looking a little sleepy," and then he turns to the bailiff, "Take him into custody." Into custody is like the worst phrase you're ever going to hear.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They take you in there and you don't leave for 30 days. I'm like, yeah, but I had plans.
Yeah. I got shit to do when I get out of here.
I really should have tucked that before I came in.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Should have packed the safe.
Oh, I remember hearing a story at a meeting one time. The girl comes in with a bag and didn't realize it was in there. And she grabs it and tries running away.
Oh,
they bundle her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, ugh. I forget where I was, but I had a bag or something, and the cop's going through it, and he's like, "Hey, Mandeville, you want us to save this crack pipe for you? <I'm> like, you want us to bring this to the jail?" I'm like,
"I don't know, I'll get me one."
"No, you can get rid of that." Yeah, no shit, pal. Insane, like the living that life.
Awful.
It is, and
no self-respect, like none.
You know, it becomes a time of like, you know, you want to grow up.
Yeah.
You want to do, you know, and I say that like it's easy. It's definitely not easy, but like
no.
Yeah, like I wanted to grow up. I was a 30-year-old man child with one child and one on the way. You know what I mean? And it wasn't all about me anymore. And I needed to use that as motivation because I didn't care enough about myself to do anything about it. And they say, "You got to do this for yourself. You got to do this for yourself." And I didn't care about myself. So I didn't, I was totally content
That's
with
right.
the fact that I was going to die. But how
That's right.
So like
that, you
got to
do this for yourself stuff. Held me out there too.
Yeah. Like I just didn't care. So I needed to do it. I used my children as motivation at first, you know, through going through the work that changed. And I understood I have to do it to keep myself first or I won't be there for them and be able to be the father they deserve. But
it's not really what I want for myself right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I want to get high.
Yeah. I might want that for today because I'm dope sick and, you know.
The only reason
when I feel good.
The only reason I got sober is because of consequences.
That's right.
Yeah. I love getting high. If I can continue to get high with no consequences, I would do it as long as possible.
Yeah.
You know, but I wasn't willing to live with the consequences.
I would have, but now that I know differently, now that I am different, I wouldn't give it up for the world because that wouldn't allow me to be who I am now, and I like who I am now.
Well, that's
a
consequence.
Right, that's right.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
You can't be the person that you want to be. That's a consequence. You know, like
yeah,
if
yeah,
there
right.
were no,
you're right.
And I, at the time, I didn't realize that I wanted to be anything different.
Right.
I was just so stuck in the grips that, you know, that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to maintain a decent amount of heroin use a day for the rest of my life and not have to work hard for it.
Yeah, I didn't want
to
get sober. I just didn't want to run out of money anymore.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know how long it was that I'd be like, fuck, I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For years.
Yep.
But
then all of a sudden you did.
I didn't know shit about recovery, about anything. Like, the first meeting I willingly attended was in jail. You know, it was to get 2.5 days of good time. But like, thank God that I had the gift of identification that night.
Yeah.
You know, like, I went to, I don't know, 2 or 3 detoxes in 7 years of heroin use.
Yeah.
Like,
which is amazing.
Yeah. Which is kind of crazy if you think about it.
It's unbelievable. Did you spend a lot of time like being sick?
Oh fuck yeah! I was
just
I was professionally sick.
Yeah.
You know, like always, like I'd want to stop and I'd get to like day 3. You know, because nothing for nothing. Kicking, like back in the day, old school heroin was way different than the shit that's out there today.
Yeah.
From you know. Whether it be methadone, fucking the fentanyl, whatever. Like,
methadone's always been illegal, handcuffs, terrible stuff.
You know, I could sleep after a week, you know, maybe 2,
the
night.
Remember when we used to be 3 days?
Yeah.
Kick in 3 days?
Yeah,
kick
3 days.
3 days, yeah.
I was like,
it was both
17,
sides.
It was like,
you get a habit in 3 days, kick in 3 days.
Yeah,
in 3 days, kick in 3 days.
Yeah.
That's the biggest lie my drug addict mind tells myself, right?
Oh.
I'm going to be fine as long as I don't get high 3 days in a row.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be good, right?
That's right.
That's the one. That was my mantra. That's like, the go-to. Fucking right? Ever.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Ever.
Third day, you're like, fuck it.
It wouldn't even take till the third day. It would me, like, I would tell myself that. I'd get high one day. I'd wake up the next morning, get a little chill, and I'd convince myself.
I got to have it already.
I got to have it.
The mind's so fucking powerful.
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. So powerful.
Oh, that chill. You'd get that chill when you're getting sick. Oh, nothing worse. You know, oh, my God.
And
cold sweats.
To see someone out there today, you know, fucking sucks. Like,
it just sucks. It's so sad.
The whole better than thing. Like, I remember, I know exactly what that dude feels like.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, fucking,
yeah.
You know? But.
Yep. I walked by a chick the other day, and she was dressed nice. You know what I mean? Still heavy. Had a coffee. You know what I mean? She's walking and just nodding. Couldn't even keep her eyes open. She's walking straight the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's not going to fall over either.
Nope. And ain't going to drop that coffee.
Nope. Oh. And it's so sad because you know what's in store. Well, death could be in store. Or maybe she gets sober real quick.
Yeah.
But what's probably in store is a long, drawn-out period of a lot of pain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And,
what's worse than jails, institutions, and death? continuing to live the way we were living,
oh, yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
That's it's just so painful and miserable.
Definitely
miserable.
Is.
It's,
yeah.
That's
like
the worst.
Like, how bad is an alcoholic death? You know? Yeah. Like, I remember back in the day reading and being like, is that really that bad? You know? Go on to the bitter end? I don't know. Maybe not. But I'm just glad I didn't do that.
I think it's pretty bad. I think it's a waste. I think it's a horrifying thing. It's a horrifying thing. You are controlled by a chemical, and you are not yourself. You're not allowed to be yourself. You're not allowed to clear up enough to realize really what's going on.
Yeah, or who you are.
Or who you are, and you're always feeling guilty about it. I mean, who doesn't feel who doesn't get high and eat that guilt all the time? You know that you're not this upstanding citizen, you know, I don't have a good job. I don't have clean clothes. I don't have, you know, I'm always sick. I'm a junkie. You pretend like you don't feel guilty more than actually not feeling guilty. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then
it
you get,
sucks.
Then you get the other side of that of people that have plenty of money and they can constantly get what they need.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Just can't deal with fucking feeling that way anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm sure there's the plenty of money people have just their own set of demons.
The ones
too,
that don't have to
you
be
know?
Like me and burn it to the fucking ground.
Yep.
You
right.
know? Can right. still hold on to their job, but they still feel the same way I did.
Yeah, it's the feelings.
You know? Right? That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
But hey.
Pretty crazy.
Crazy stuff.
It is what it is. How long do we go for? Oh. Yeah, see? Flies by.
It does.
Flies
it does.
By, brother. It's a good thing.
Yep.
It's a good thing.
So.
All right, you want to wrap it?
Sure. Yeah, let's, like to thank Jimmy for coming on.
Appreciate you guys having
me
out.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That was good. That was a good one. It
yes.
flies by. It's a good time. And could be someone's first taste of recovery.
Yeah. You know, and on the website, I'm sure we'll have a link for, you know, if anyone needs any help and we can help in any way.
Absolutely.
You can drop us an email or something.
Yes. All right.
LifeOnLifeTerms.com.
LOLTerms.com, the Life on Life Terms podcast. I live in this world full of anger and hate, and nobody is safe in this place overcome me. Trying to stay sane and angry.